Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 6th, 2014. Wow. Can you believe we're already 14 years into this century? Can you believe that you're going to die this century? Unless they come up with some Rogaine for your fucking heart. Yes, you are. You are going to die. Let's try to call it right now. I was born in the year of our Lord, 1968. So my goal in life is I'd like to see the 70s again. All right? Because the first time was just so groovy, man. Sorry, I'm fucking punch drunk. Getting back. Anyways, stay focused this week, Bill. Stay fucking focused. Yeah, I'd like to make it to about 2072. I'll be 104 years old. You know, it'll be right before they're getting ready. They're getting geared up for another fucking bicentennial. Tricentennial. Is that what it's going to be? The tricentennial, everybody. And they'll come wheeling me out. He's so old, he remembers the second one. The bicentennial. And I'll be like, what? Right? Celebrating, it was 100 years ago today that Richard Nixon resigned from office.
I am not a crook.
I get to watch that shit, the 100th anniversary of the assassination of fucking John F. Kennedy. Can I sound any dumber? Fucking. And what else would I see? The 100th anniversary of the Philadelphia Eagles winning a fucking championship, you assholes. How the hell did you lose yesterday? I like the Saints. I like when they go marching in. But you know something? Verzi got me all hyped up that, like, the Eagles were probably the best matchup for the Seahawks. And to me, I think the Seahawks are going to win the whole thing. But there would be nothing funnier if they didn't. I got money on them to win it. But it would just be fucking hilarious if they didn't. And then their fans had to go home. The 12th man. They have to go fucking home again with that little fucking piece of paper on the wall for their world record. The loudest crowd ever. Really? You don't think the Arab Spring was a little louder? You don't think that crowd was a little bit louder? Running for their lives after being dispersed. Anyways, what the fuck am I talking about here? You know, I'm really getting tired of people who don't live in the United States of America talking about it and then going, you know, and this is happening and this is happening. And I just feel like people aren't even aware of it. You stupid, arrogant fucking cunts. Where the fuck do you get off thinking you know more about my country than I do? I fucking live here. Why don't I tell somebody in Greece what the I don't think anybody in Greece realized what's going on in their country. Listen, fuckheads from around the world, we know what's going on here. What would you have us do? Protesters in this country are treated the exact same fucking way they are around the world. If you're lucky, all you get is the water cannon. If you're lucky, only four of you die from the rubber bullets. All right? That's what happens. All right? Mr. fucking big mouths out there. All right? You want to start the fucking revolution? I'll join it. You start it. You get on point. All right there, Gandhi? You fucking take the sheet off your goddamn bed, put on your fucking sandals, and you walk down the street. I'll be right behind you in the masses. It's just, and I don't think they're aware of it. Ugh, with one more fucking douchebag. Oh, really? Is it really corrupt like your fucking country also? Really? Are we starting wars because of X, Y, and Z? Oh, is that why we're over there? I couldn't figure it out. I thought we were over there making a fucking Dairy Queen. Thank you for explaining it to me, person from somewhere else. With your fucking perspective from Nova Scotia. Speaking of Nova Scotia, old Freckles is going to come to town. Now, what just happened to my computer? Old Freckles is coming to town. I just got my dates for the big Canadian tour, for the big-ass fucking Canadian tour. I can tell you this. I can't tell you when. It starts on March 1st, And here are some of the wonderful Canadian cities that I'm going to be hitting, provinces, whatever the fuck you want to call them. I'm going to be going there, and then you guys can tell me what's wrong with my country and then say to my face that you're surprised that I'm not aware of it. You know, like, you don't think I have the internet? All right. I'll be at the Capitol Theater in New Brunswick in M-O-N-C-T-O-N, New Brunswick. That one starts. That's March 1st. March 2nd. I'll be at the Rebecca Kahn Auditorium in Halifax, Nova Scotia. On the 5th of March, I'll be in Montreal, Quebec. The 6th, I'll be in Ottawa. The 7th, I'll be in Hamilton, Ontario. The 8th, I'll be in Toronto, Ontario. On the 13th, I'm going to be in Winnipeg. On the 14th, I'm going to be in Edmonton. On the 15th, I'm going to be in Calgary. And then I'm going to be on the 16th. I'm going to finish it up on the West Coast in Vancouver, British Columbia. So there you go. All right. And I'm going to go up there and ask you guys if you're aware of what's going on in your country. I'm sorry. I know I've been doing a lot of yelling on this podcast, and I apologize. I apologize for my mood. I apologize to, I don't even fucking know. Isn't that what you have to do now as a comedian? You make a fucking joke, and then you have to go out and apologize. Every goddamn week, somebody says something, somebody decides to take it seriously, then all of a sudden the person has to apologize, you know, like they meant it. Oh, you took it seriously, so I guess now I meant it. Why don't you lighten up? Why doesn't everybody just collectively grow a tougher skin? Why don't you do that? Well, Bill, why did you stop being such a cunt? Well, hey, that's a decent point. That's a decent point. Somebody asked, was talking to me about fat shaming this week. Once again, talking about how it's a terrible thing to do. I got to tell you something. If you guys want, I love fat shaming. I absolutely love it. That's how I stay in shape. I fat shame myself. Time I get out of shape, I just stand in the mirror. Look at you. Look what you did, you fucking goddamn pink pig. What the fuck is wrong with you? And I just trash myself. I just yell at myself. It's the weirdest thing to yell at yourself in the mirror because you're getting in your grill and you're looking away at the same time. It's fucking tremendous. It's like that movie Face Off, except it's all you. Right? Isn't that what happened in that movie? Anyways, this is the Monday morning podcast. I do one of these every sort of Monday. I like putting them out late, just watching people, because they take the fucking name so literally. Hey, you called the fucking, why don't you call it the Tuesday afternoon podcast? You know, when you went to the movie theater to go see Saturday Night Fever on a Thursday, what did you fucking bid? Well, they should call this Thursday Night Fever because it's Thursday. You can listen to them whenever you want to. I have years of these fucking things. Years and years of ignorance I have recorded. Go listen to a back one. First of all, it's fucking Monday. Shouldn't you be at work, you asshole? Oh, I'm on my soapbox this week. Anyways, so I was flying back from Pittsburgh this weekend. And I had basically the greatest weekend of my life. This is... How do I even start this fucking week? I guess I got to start at the beginning of the week. Right? Or do I work my way backwards? What do you guys want to hear? You want to hear the shit show into the greatest fucking weekend of my life? Or you want to hear about the greatest weekend of my life and then I'll backtrack into the shit show? Would that make you feel better? I think it would, judging by the tone on the internet that, oh, wow, Bill had a great fucking time. I should lead with that and then go back to my... And I should end with my embarrassments. All right? So it lands softly and you can feel okay at your plastic fucking desk that they got at Office Max. All right? That's when you know you're not making it in life, when your desk is made out of plastic. All right? Nobody ever sat behind a plastic desk, chomping on a nice cigar after making some fucking zillion-dollar deal that caused one-armed diamond diggers to be a little further down in the mud. Nobody's ever done that, okay? You want a fucking wood desk. Desk made out of wood, in case I confused you. All right? And if you're sitting at a plastic desk right now, I'm not saying you're a bad person, but I'm saying that you need to now desk shame yourself. All right? Why don't you take out your little compact, or maybe look into your little Zippo lighter. Look into your eyes, and I want you to find the sadness. I want you to look a little deeper, and I want you to see the dream way in the back of your eyes. And I want to know where it went and when you're going to bring it back up to the fucking front row. All right? Now, that might have sounded cunty, but that was supposed to inspire you. So right now, I want you to slam your fist down on your plastic desk until it fucking shatters. And I don't know what else the rest of the plan is. Maybe you can get everybody else to start doing it, like a bunch of monkeys. You just start doing it and start throwing your shit around the room. I don't know what. Tip over your cubicles. I want that for all of you. Isn't it fun to scare people in suits? See, you know something? Joe DeRosa never picks up his phone. And now he's calling me. Hey, Joey Roses.
Bill, how are you?
I'm doing my podcast. And unlike you, I actually pick up my phone, you fucking pencil-shaped cunt. Hey, let me call you after this. Hey, this is a great time, Joe, now that we're both living on the same coast, to maybe let the listeners know that there's a lot of rumors that that the uninformed show might come back together again. Lennon and McCarthy might finally bury the hatchet, right?
Bury the hatchet, you get together for the reunion tour, you can come out swinging that flag around with your tights on.
I hope you guys could hear that. All right, fuckhead, I'll call you later, all right? All right, Joe. Anyways, fuckhead, geez, did I pull that out of fourth grade recess? Hey, dickface. anyways. I don't know where to start. All right. Fuck it. I'm going to go with the most vivid memory. This weekend, I had the greatest weekend of my life. About, I don't know how many months ago, the wonderful, the generous, the always classy, and sometimes sassy, Randy Bauman from WDVE in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who basically, he helped build me in that market. You know, I wasn't selling shit. I wasn't selling any tickets in Pittsburgh. And I think Billy Gardell told me about him. I can't remember how the hell the thing went down, but he has got this great morning radio show. And he said, listen, next time you come to Pittsburgh, come in, fly in on a Monday night. I'll have you on the radio Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You run your freckled face for the 4 days and we'll get you going in this market. And he helped build me up and all that type of stuff. As if that wasn't enough. So he turned that weak market into one of my strongest cities to go to. And it is such a great city to go to. As if that wasn't enough. Old Randy Bauman called me up, I don't know how many months ago, and he says, listen, would you be interested in doing stand-up at the, you know, Mario Lemieux has a fantasy camp, and it raises money for cancer research and all this type of stuff. It's just this great thing. You come in, you do stand-up, you meet some of the guys. He always has some of the guys he played with. They're hanging out, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, I was like, absolutely. That's all it started as, was just this little thing. And then he calls me back. He goes, hey, don't you play hockey a little bit? I'm like, yeah, you know, I try. He goes, well, hey, they have, you know, the camp, the, you know, the, everybody plays hockey. They have like four teams. They play each other and all that type of stuff. If you want to come on and play with one of the teams one day, you play where the Penguins play and all that. Would you like to do that? I'm like, absolutely. Of course I would. So long story short, I show up and I bring my pads and I bring all this stuff because I just think it's just going to be a pickup game of hockey. And I don't know, without getting like tacky and just saying all the stuff that they gave everybody who it's ridiculous. You show up, they give you a friggin' hockey bag with your goddamn name on it. And inside there is all the stuff. The socks, the gloves, the jersey, a helmet, the whole thing. And all you have to do is just bring your pads, you're good, and a stick, and you're fine. And next thing you know, you're playing hockey where the Penguins play. Oh, and you also go to the hockey game before. It's too much to even try to describe. So anyways, we do the stand-up show. I don't know who's in the crowd other than Mario Lemieux, and I don't want to know. I don't want to fucking know who's there because they're legends. And, of course, I go on stage. I look to the right, and there's Mario Lemieux sitting there. It's like you can hide when you're 6'6". And thank God I saw him smiling, and he was laughing. Long story short, at the end of it, I met like 7 or 8 guys that I grew up watching. I don't know. It was the sickest thing ever. I don't know. It was unbelievable. Paul Coffey, you know, other than Bobby Orr, the greatest friggin' defenseman of all time, Theo Fleury, Brian Trottier, it was insane. It was fucking insane. The whole Ty Domi. They were all in the crowd. Thank God I didn't know. Thank God I didn't know. Jesus Christ. It was my head's spinning right now. And we end up going out. We're playing on the ice. Trottier is our coach. Lemieux on the other team with Paul Coffey. Mark Recchi was on my team. 2 years removed from winning a Stanley Cup, I'm playing with this guy. And it was insane. And then a bunch of regular people. Actually, everybody else was better than I was. But, I mean, just we're all skating with them. It was insane. It was fucking insane. Speechless. I don't even have... The only funny story I can think of for the weekend, because I was in a daze the whole weekend, it was so awesome, was how awful I played. Jesus Christ. It was fucking brutal. I really wanted to play a lot better than I did. I'm not going to lie to you. And everyone's doing that. Nah, you know, you were good. For 3 years in, you were good. Don't sugarcoat it. I sucked. So I'm motivated to get better at that game. So if I ever get to do a play again, I can actually maybe handle the puck for more than 2 seconds without it getting taken away from me. But it was just the best fucking time I ever had. And I still can't believe it happened. I was actually sitting there, and Steve Byrne was the other comic on it. I'm sitting on the bench, and he's playing defense with Paul Coffey. And I'm watching Paul Coffey pass the puck to my buddy. It was the sickest thing. It was the sickest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. So that happened. And so that was the great thing this weekend. Dude, Ty Domi showed us how he would beat up a guy a foot taller. He showed us his technique. I'm not going to get into it. Ask him about it someday if you ever run into him. It was fucking unbelievable. And they were all hilarious. They were all great guys. Who else? Randy Hilliard played for the Bruins for a while early on when I first started watching the Bruins. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anybody. Rick Tocchet, Jesus Christ. He was skating by. Eddie Johnston. The Bruins goalie who won in 70 and 72. And I was like starstruck going, I just read Bobby Orr's book, turned like an 8-year-old kid. And he goes, oh, I talked to him this morning. I'll tell him you liked it. And I was like, oh, my God, he knows Bobby Orr. It was insane. The greatest thing ever. If you're ever going to do a fantasy camp, there's no way there's one out there that's better than the Mario Lemieux one. I got to tell you, it was 100% first class. It was just the greatest thing ever. All right, so that's that. All right? Now, and right now, I know I'm going to get a bunch of tweets going, Bill, fuck you, go fuck yourself for having that experience. And you know what? You're right. I have no business having an experience like that. Thank you to Randy Bauman for hooking the whole goddamn thing up. All right. Plowing ahead here. What do I got here? Let's do some advertising. Do some advertising? How about you read some advertising? How about you make an attempt, Bill? All right, Hulu Plus. Okay, here we go. Hulu Plus, you've probably tried Hulu.com. Now with Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies on your television or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. And it all streams in HD for the best viewing experience. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite current TV shows like Saturday Night Live, Community, and Family Guy. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Awesomes, starring SNL's Seth Meyers, and Moon Boy, starring Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaids. Hulu Plus also offers a great selection of acclaimed films. For only $7.99 a month, you can stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, wherever you want. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's a special offer for my listeners. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you get the extended free trial and that they know that I sent you over there. Go to HuluPlus.com/Bill now or click the Hulu Plus banner on the podcast page at BillBird.com. Hey, that wasn't bad. I only screwed up once. I was one over. All right, Dollar Shave Club, for a couple of bucks a month, DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing quality razors right to your door. Not only does it save you a ton of cash, it saves you from trudging your sorry ass to the drugstore for a pack of blades. Personally, I always get stuck behind the drug addict who's going there to buy some sort of something that he could stick into his arms and some grapefruit juice. I don't know about you, and it's a pain in the ass. But now, with Dollar Shave Club for just a couple of bucks a month, you don't have to deal with that anymore. Why? Because amazing quality razors will be delivered right to your door. That's right. No more wasting time and no more getting hit up for 20 bucks every time you buy a razor. It's highway robbery. Everybody here, meaning me, is getting their Dollar Shave Club blades, and you should do it too. And here's a genius idea. While you're at it, try replacing your old shaving cream with Dr. Kava's Evie Shave Butter from DollarShaveClub.com. Trust me, your face will thank you later. Don't waste time at the drugstore behind the lady paying in pennies. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr or go to BillBurr.com and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. Keep your stress level low and your bank account balance high. Shave time, shave money. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. And finally, for the hat trick, LegalZoom. You know, people, some things like starting a business or protecting your family with a will aren't like your... Oh, God, this first sentence of this copy, it just kills me. All right, Bill Burr tries not to fuck it up. Take two. LegalZoom.com. Some things like starting a business or protecting your family with the will aren't like your other New Year's resolutions. You can't afford to blow them off. Instead of less snacking and more exercise, put them at the top of your list. What? Instead of less snacking and more exercise, put them at the top of your list. What, the stuff I just read? Ah, oh, Jesus, I'm confused. Let's start over again. LegalZoom.com, everybody. Some things like starting a business or protecting your family with the will aren't like your other New Year's resolutions. You can't afford to blow them off. Instead of less snacking and more exercise, put them at the top of your list. LegalZoom helps you incorporate or form an LLC with their simple questionnaire, starting at $99. Over 1 million entrepreneurs have done it, and 90% of customers recommend LegalZoom to friends and family. You can also create a will starting at just $69 or even a living trust quickly and easily. Get peace of mind and protection. No surprise fees, no hassles, man, no headaches. LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology. LegalZoom, however, is not a law firm, but they can connect you with the third-party attorney and provide you with any help, self-help services that you need. From wills to business formations, trademarks, powers of attorney, and more, go to LegalZoom.com. For even more savings, type in Burr, B-U-R-R, into the referral box at checkout. Don't put off things that you need to do today. Go to LegalZoom.com now and use the discount code Burr, B-U-R-R. That's LegalZoom.com, discount code Burr, B-U-R-R. Jesus Christ. Fucking butcher. All right, so backing up a little bit earlier this week, I did the New Year's Eve gig at the Wiltern Theater in, right here in Los Angeles. And that's a theater that I've been wanting to do for years. It's just a Art Deco building. It's just awesome. I've seen a bunch of great rock shows there. I saw them Crooked Vultures. I saw one of the last shows of Velvet Revolver. I just saw a bunch of great things there. I saw a couple. I saw Modern Drummer drum off there. What else? I know I've seen like 10 shows there. I can't really think of anything else. Maybe some of them were like Nia shows. Who knows? Anyways, so I finally got to go down. I went down there when, oh, I know. I went down there when Rogan and Stanhope were down there, knocking it out of the park. We had the Greg Giraldo benefit down there. It was just one that I always wanted to headline someday. And I got to do it. And I did it with Andrew Themelis, Jason Lawhead, and Joe Bartnick. And it was just such an awesome night. Fucking great crowd. Everybody seemed to have a great time, and all my friends had great sets. And Bartnick went on in front of me and was in rare form. He brought the fucking lumber that night. It was just an unreal night. And then we had a DJ come out in the end. I got to do the countdown, took some pictures with some fans afterwards. It was just a great way to start the new year. So the next day, actually, later on that day, because we'd left about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, we went over to the Rose Bowl, and I was an absolute shit show this year. I'm embarrassed at myself. I drank so much. Usually, I pass out during the game for like 5 minutes, and somebody nudges me, and I wake up. I drank so much, I fucking passed out at the tailgate. Fucking, I don't know what happened. I started hitting the hard stuff. I shotgunned a beer. All right. For the first time in my life, by the way, I never did it. I never did it because I was too afraid. There was always girls around. I was like, I'm going to do it. And it's going to go all over me. And then nobody's going to like me. And I'm going to have to switch schools because that's the way my brain would work. Rather than maybe they'd laugh and you'd say something funny. And next thing you know, you're having a good time with one of the ladies. That's not how my brain looked. And they're going to smash me over the head with the beer can and throw me off a fucking cliff. Like, that's how my brain still works. But I'm aware of it now. And as it starts screaming and whining, there's another voice in my head going, no, it's not. It's not going to happen. It's going to be fine. The light's going to turn green and you're going to get down the road. There's going to be something to eat. You'll be fine. Fucking Jason Lawhead smoked a pork shoulder. And I have no recollection of eating it. I don't even remember it. I blacked out, ate a pork shoulder sandwich, and then I passed out. Somewhere in there, I shotgunned a beer. And then walking in to the fucking Rose Bowl, I started screaming at this girl who's like 23 in cowboy boots, screaming, you're not as hot as you think you are. To the point it got uncomfortable. It's just fucking. I vaguely remember that. Vaguely remember that. And they reminded me afterwards. And I have been so fucking embarrassed. So fucking embarrassed this whole. I just. You know, like when you do something horrible like that? I don't know about you guys, but when I think about it, like in my head, I just start talking out loud, making noises. To kind of drown out the thought, I would just think about it and be like, ah, Jesus. They're just. And I would do it like standing in line at security at an airport and people looking at me like now I'm like a fucking terrorist. And it's like, no, 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 no. I was a scary, drunk, older man to a 23, 24-year-old woman. It was just awful. So as always, I am on the wagon again. I was on the wagon until the fucking hockey thing this weekend, okay? It's not like, you know, when guys you grew up watching start buying beers and shit, you're going to be like, no, Clark fucking Gillies. Sorry. I met Clark Gillies last night. Talked to him about his fights with Dave Schultz. I got to do that. Did I get to do it? Is it all a fucking dream? I don't even remember. So anyway, so I am on the wagon, but I took 2 days off. So it was insane. And I had like fucking three of those sandwiches, you know, where they have the French fries and the coleslaw in them on the fucking bread. We closed down that place one night, me, Steve Byrne, and fucking Bauman, and a couple other people. We just closed that place down. Fucking Byrne was an animal, man. Every time we went to the Penguins game, he ordered two of them. And then we went to the fucking place like the next day after our show. I should really know the name of the place. It's like famous. I never remember the names of restaurants. He ate two more. He ordered two and I ate half of his, a pastrami one with French fries and fucking coleslaw. It was insane. And then last night they had catering and it was more of them. And he just kept eating. You can't not eat them. They're delicious. They make you obese. They're awesome. They're Pittsburgh. It's everything Pittsburgh. If you could make Pittsburgh into a fucking sandwich, this is the goddamn sandwich. Some of the best heart attack food you'll ever have. I would actually say that Pittsburgh rivals Chicago. Chicago, phenomenal, phenomenal fucking heart attack food. Just that city is just all, you know, it starts tomorrow. The diet starts tomorrow. I'm quitting drinking tomorrow. If I lived in Chicago or if I lived in Pittsburgh, I would be about 260 pounds, you know? And at that point, you have to grow a mustache, some sort of facial hair, you know, to just hide your big fucking face. Dude, what a fucking weekend, man. Now all this shit's coming back to me. Trottier told the story of he scored the fastest goal ever. I actually watched it on YouTube when I was looking up his highlights when I was going to go there to do the show, and I knew that he was going to be there. And next thing you know, he was talking about it and was standing there on a phone watching it. He scored in 5 seconds, and he's just graciously standing there like he hasn't won 6 Stanley Cups, talking to me like I'm fucking remotely on his level. Greatest fucking guys ever this weekend. He's telling me, breaking down the whole play of how he scored in 5 seconds and how it's only been tied. He did it against the Bruins, and it was just, what a fucking weekend, man. Ah, Christ, I'm floating here. So anyways, despite all of that, you know what's funny is I was eating those French fry coleslaw fucking, I almost said tuberculosis sandwiches, meat sandwiches. And the whole weekend, though, I was also doing yoga every day because I was not going to have my back give out on me while I was out on the ice because I already knew what my performance level was going to be like. So I kind of like offset it a little bit, but I'm looking pretty doughy these days, not liking myself whatsoever. So anyways, that was basically my weekend. And then the Rose Bowl was an absolute, it was awesome. And I'm so pissed at myself that I got that fucking drunk. And that I was belligerent. And then also that I forget some of the best part. And the tailgate flew by. And now I have to wait a whole nother year. Next year, I'm drinking Miller. That's it. Champagne, a beer. I'm doing that. They go down nice and easy at fucking 7 in the morning. Kick a couple of those back when I have an omelet, throw the football around, fucking tailgate like you've been there before, Bill. You know, I'm like at these fucking Rose Bowl tailgates, I'm like Charlie Brown every fucking year trying to kick the football and Lucy pulls it away. How many fucking years, Bill? One of them I was stone sober. You know what's funny? I don't even remember that one either. Anyways, but as always, Jason Lawhead, Rose Bowl tailgate legend. If you ever are around that man when he's near a fucking grill, grab yourself a paper plate and wait your fucking turn. Because that dude, he just keeps getting better at cooking. It's fucking insane. I remember one point some woman walked by and she looked at the pork shoulder that he was smoking. And she said, oh, that's nice. And I swear to God, if I had a couple more beers, I would have tackled her. that's nice. Fucking, what kind of understatement is that? I vaguely remember talking into a camera shitface going, did you grow up in a city of gold? You know? It's fucking nice. Jesus Christ. I'm sure your mom was swell. All right. Let's plow ahead here. What else did I want to talk about? I didn't even have a chance to watch any of the football. And I apologize what I said about the Eagles. I'm not trying to rub your face in it. Did anybody see the video where that guy, that Eagle fan, spit in that Saints fan's face? I don't condone that behavior, but you're a fucking asshole. The other guy was a fucking asshole. Jumping up, but you don't do that. There's an etiquette when you go into another stadium. When you, okay, you want to show up wearing your fucking colors, all right? You know everybody's going to break your balls. You go in, you fucking roll with it, you laugh, you take the shit, and then you show that you're not going to be an asshole. And usually that works, other than, you know, on like in Oakland, San Francisco, San Diego, or Philly. For some reason, I don't know, out here you get stabbed or shot or it gets really ugly. And in Philly, you know, I guess it gets ugly too. But it's not like there hasn't been a bunch of stories about it. Their team just lost in the playoffs. People are like, what, he doesn't have a right to cheer? He isn't cheering. He's turning around, filming sad Eagle fans walking out of the stadium, screaming, hooday, hooday, and all this type of shit. And I guess the dude, I listened to it at the airport, it was really loud. I guess he said, I'm going to spit in your face. And he kept doing it. And this dude just fucking effortlessly, you know, fluidly, as he was exiting the stadium, spit right in this guy's face. And which is a terrible fucking thing to do. You shouldn't do it. But it's one of those, that guy literally should just go to Central Park at 3 a.m, dressed like Liberace, jumping up and down, holding a satchel of money, going, look at all the money I got, right? And then when he gets hit over the head and mugged, right, that's still wrong. It shouldn't happen. But what are you doing? Why don't you tie a big fat steak to your fucking stomach, a bloody steak, and go jump in an alligator-infested fucking lake? Why don't you do that? And then I'm supposed to feel bad for you when the alligator fucking eats you, all right? That Eagle fan was wrong. He shouldn't have done that shit. But the Saints fan was reckless with his own well-being, careless, sloppy, all right? If you were driving a fucking boat, you would have run it aground because you weren't paying attention. You had no respect for yourself or your own safety or the dryness of your face in that moment, sir, all right? And he was not cheering. He was taunting. He was filming Eagle fans leaving, screaming that hooday, all right? He's lucky he didn't get a bucket of urine dumped over his head. You do that in Philly, I'm surprised you lived. So there you go. So look up that video. And like I said, I don't condone that behavior, obviously. But I can't judge it considering I yelled at a young lady in cowboy boots because I was drunk. So now I am back on the wagon. All right? And I reserve the right that if I'm, if anything else like that happens, I'm gonna start drinking again. But I'm not, you know, like that fucking, you know, I don't give a fuck how long you were sober. You would have started drinking too. Anyways, what else? And Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I would say if I ever see somebody with Kansas City jersey on or something, I'd just give them a hug. But I wouldn't do that because that would actually make it worse. That would be some sort of pandering. What happened to Kansas City Chiefs fans should not happen to anybody. And that includes Yankee fans. Nobody should have to fucking go through that. But that is today's NFL with the rule changes. You are never out of it. That was absolutely fucking insane. I feel bad for Chief fans, and I feel great for Andrew Luck because I like that guy, man. I really think that guy is a, obviously, I mean, I'm not going out on a limb. That guy is showing he's got that Elway thing. He's got that fucking Elway thing. He's got a cannon. He can run. He's never better than when the game's on the fucking line. He's showing hints of that. And it's fucking scary, the potential of that guy. Anyway, all these guys. Cam Newton's having an unbelievable year. Did they play this weekend? I missed everything. I missed everything. I was too busy fucking having the weekend of my life. I still cannot fucking believe that happened. I still cannot believe how nice all the players were, how gracious all of them were. They were just, they were fucking hilarious. Just standing around, drinking beers, breaking balls, and then you went out and you played hockey with. It was just, it was fucking unbelievable. Un-fucking believable. I'll never get over it. Greatest fucking weekend of my life. Anyways, so now, yeah, that's my thing. I'm officially fucking old as hell. 45, going to be 46 this year. So I'm hitting the yoga hard this year because I was starting to have like, I'm so old. I like throw out my back sleeping. It's so fucking humbling. You sit there and you lie to yourself. You know, I look good for my age. I can still run around and shit. And it just, you just can't after a while. I don't know what it is. How do you throw your back out sleeping? Don't even fucking say it's the mattress. I've been sleeping on this mattress. It's a newer one. I've been sleeping on it for a couple of years. It's still got years left in it. It's me. Oh, Jesus Christ. I wake up in the morning and my dog, she does two stretches. Up dog, down dog. And she is, shakes herself and she is ready to go. She gets a yawn in there somewhere else and she's ready to go. And then she's staring at me. And at this point, she knows not to get too excited because she knows the entire stretching routine that I have to go through just to walk her down the street. She gets excited. But then she just knows I got to do like this whole, like this 6 minute stretch routine. And it drives her nuts trying to fucking remain calm because she loves going outside like every dog so goddamn bad. I don't know. I guess I just have to accept it. And, I forgot to mention that the New Year's gig, we got a bunch of emails. Some people came in from New Mexico, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, San Francisco, Portland, Sacramento, Chicago, San Diego, New York City, and Vancouver, man. That's fucking awesome, man. I got to tell you, that was a great show that night. That really was a great show. I'm not even going to lie. I was on my game. Everybody was on their game. If you came that night, you definitely got your money's worth. And I'm actually thinking about maybe doing New Year's in LA every other year because I got the new hour going where it's supposed to be and it's worth the money every other year. As far as like, if I just did your fucking city, you know what I mean? If I come back a year later, like half my act's still going to be the same and I fucked you over. So I do it like every other year. Whatever. I don't need to break down my fucking process. I don't owe you guys an explanation. Do I? I don't fucking know. Anyways, where are we? Where are we in the podcast here? 43 minutes flying by here. All right, let's get to, here's an email right here. Conveniently enough about the wheel turn. Billy Wood. I was at the wheel turn last night for your show. My girlfriend and I drove down from Portland. Jesus Christ, dude. Take the 5 south the whole fucking way. We got tickets right when you announced it because we knew we wouldn't want to do any of the traditional New Year plans, dinner and parties and all that bullshit. They are all mediocre at best, but last night's show was hilarious. Thank you. Everyone was hilarious. Up and down, the funniest show I've ever seen. We stayed for the countdown and you didn't disappoint. Oh, it was great. We had a DJ and I got to do the countdown and sing that depressing song. It was fucking awesome. He said, if ever the end of the world is coming, I'd want you to do the final countdown before we all burst into oblivion. Thanks again for the laughs. Come to Portland. Christ, it's been forever. Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. Thank you. That isn't even like a question or anything. That was just a nice email. And I appreciate it. All right, Australia. Hi, I was wondering if Bill will return to Australia. I have a group of friends who would appreciate seeing a stand-up show. Thank you and kind regards. Look how nice these emails are this week. I think everybody made a New Year's resolution to be a little nicer to me in the emails. You know, maybe for once think about my feelings. Yes, I was talking to my agent today about putting together a run through Australia. And my fucking goddamn phone never stops. I'm definitely going to do it. I mean, I'm hoping to tour the entire country. If not, I am, at the very least, I'm going to do a number of cities. That is the game plan. I'm hoping to go from Perth all the way across. We'll see what it looks like. You never know what, you know, when you're going to cities you've never been to, you don't know if people are going to show up. You got to get a promoter who's going to believe in you. You got to get people who are going to hype the show, yada, yada, yada. But I really hope that we can put something together, maybe tack on New Zealand while I'm at it. We shall see. We shall see. But it's nice to know that people are asking. All right. Long distance hiking. Now, last week I mentioned that I went on a hike and we just kept going and going like assholes, not realizing that we had to walk back. Hiking is not like a treadmill. You don't just get to step off and be like, oh, I'm still, despite the fact I walked for an hour, I am still only, you know, 10 paces from the parking lot in my car. We ended up going on like an 11-mile hike, and it was exhausting to say the least. So this person is writing about long-distance hiking. Another great old man thing to do. Yoga, hockey, ice hockey, and hiking, you know. All right. Hey, Bill, I've been listening to your podcast long enough to know that you love hiking, you hate getting fat, and you get easily annoyed by day-to-day bullshit. I really think you'd enjoy backpacking. Oh, Jesus. Backpacking? I know it's awesome, but can you call it something else? Backpacking? I just feel like I'm fucking waiting for a bus, picking my nose, about ready to get the shit kicked out of me. Hey, you guys want to go backpacking? It's a pack you put on your back and you go backpacking. Or long distance hiking. Okay, let's call it that. It's a really, long distance hiking freaks me out because I figure at that point you've walked long enough to run into something that can maul you to death, slash rip your face off, or at the very least just sort of bite your throat until it stops feeling the pulse. You know, start getting into that next weight class of animals. I don't know, you know, mountain lions, black bear, grizzly bear, fucking anaconda, whatever exotic pet that somebody let loose that has no natural enemy that is now taking over the forest. Long distance hiking. It's really freeing to walk away from civilization for a week or more with a solid pair of boots and everything you need strapped to your back. Dude, fuck that. You're more man or woman than I am. I can't fucking deal with that. I get scared. I get freaked the fuck out. I'd have to be out there with somebody who knew what they were doing, who had a gun, automatic too, not even semi-automatic. I need something that I could spray in the general direction of the sound I just heard. And you know, if we kill a couple of backpackers, there's no one else around. Burying them is optional. I would say leave them above ground because they'll get picked away a lot quicker. Then people will find their clothes. I guess the bones would be there. That's creepy. See what happens when you go out in the wilderness? You start fucking talking about shit like that. I live in a suburb. Okay? There's plenty of people to shoot and I never think of doing it. They're right out there. Right fucking out there, and I never think of shooting them. All of a sudden, you get me backpacking or long-distance hiking, and I'm trying to think how to bury bodies. All right, every time I finish a long hike, I come back looking healthier and leaner and feeling refreshed. Yeah, because you're out there eating berries, wiping your ass with fucking pine cones. That's why you have that peculiar look on your face. No matter how much you eat on the trail, you're guaranteed to lose weight if you spend 6 hours a day hiking with a 35-pound backpack. There's no need to limit yourself to salads and juice. I can't tell you how many times I've had Older day hikers look at my backpack and tell me they wish they had done more backpacking when they were able to. It's a really unique experience out there on your own. Yeah, I bet it is. Well, can you please write back and tell me what you do about animals, man? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing this. You know, the only way I would do this is if I was in a fucking platoon and we all had machine guns, just in case I missed. Anyways, oh, here he goes. He's going to calm me down. And it isn't nearly as dangerous or as difficult as people make it out to be. If you stay on the trail, you'll usually run across another hiker every few hours. Oh, that's comforting. That's comforting. Every couple hours, I can run into Johnny Appleseed. But during the other hour and 50 minutes, I'm on my own. All right. You usually run into another hiker every few hours that can help you if you get hurt. And bears, mountain lions, and all those other beasts kill a lot fewer people than Los Angeles traffic accidents do. Well, I used to do a bit on that. Well, obviously, because the fucking, you know, you're running into one person every 2 hours, sir. Let's do the math here, okay? Here's the deal. There's like 7 million people in Los Angeles. Okay? You can't fucking go anywhere without running into like 1,000 fucking people out here. You're somewhere where you walk every 2 hours and run into one human being. So obviously, I can guarantee you if those lions and mountain lions were down here, the death rate would be through the fucking roof. All right? This is the guy. This is what he says to you. He goes, just keep your food away from your tent and you'll be fine. Do you understand, sir, that you're telling me to do something where if I'm too near my food supply, I could possibly get eaten to death? You want me to leave my living room? You know, why can't I just sit on my back porch? Listen, I would love to go hiking like that. I really would, but I cannot get past. No, and I don't think you should be able to get past it. That there's that type of shit is out there. All right, and if you get mauled to death as a stand-up comedian, you really were just looking for trouble, weren't you? That's, you know, somebody just asked me to do a cruise, to do stand up on a cruise, and I told them I wasn't going to do it, and they said, why not? And I said, because I'm terrified of the ocean. Okay, that's why. I respect it. The ocean is not the ocean. It is the ocean, but it's literally, you're talking about, it's outer space on Earth. That's what it is. Okay, you can't breathe in it. You can't be in it. If you're in it too long, you're either going to get hypothermia or something's going to come up and take a bite out of you to see if you're edible. Or you're going to drown. Those are your three fucking options. And I know what you're thinking. Dude, cruises are safe, man. You're out there on this big fucking boat. Yeah, and until you're not. Until you're not. And then you proceed to die one of the slowest, most terrifying fucking deaths that there is. Treading water in the middle of fucking nowhere. And somebody's going to die. No matter how fast they can fucking get you out there, somebody is going to die. And people follow. I fucking did one cruise in my life, and I couldn't get past the fact that I was on something that the second it fucking shits the bed. And I know you guys think that I've been on cruises, and go fuck yourself. I talked to the band that was on this cruise ship for fucking years, and they told me stories over a little fucking plate of Jell-O late at night. Those awful cruise desserts. Some poor excuse for fucking. I don't like fucking going out there and all of a sudden it's maritime laws and this douchebag who didn't even run for office is now telling me what whatever he says goes with his stupid ass fucking outfit. Go fuck yourself. They told me stories. Okay? They told me enough fucking stories about food poisoning, about shit backing up, about one engine not working, and now they're going half speed, and then they don't make it to all the cities, and then they make up shit about hurricanes, and then they have trust me. People having medical issues and having to be fucking helicoptered off and flown as quickly as humanly possible, not to the best possible hospital, to the nearest one. All right? And you're going on a cruise, they go all over the fucking world. And they go by a bunch of fucking countries that you wouldn't want to fucking have a goddamn hangnail in, but all of a sudden they're the closest one and that's where the fuck you're going. The old Dr. Harry Hackett-off. Fuck that. Fuck that. All right? Fucking combined stand-up comedy and water world. I'm not doing it. All right? So that's the thing about, I would absolutely love to go backpacking. I would love to do that. I would love to go up fucking mountains. I would love to do that. It's way better than going to the gym. I understand 100% what you're talking about, but dude, that shit where you run into a bear, mama bear, and it just turns around and just runs at you 35, 40 miles an hour. You basically, and you're sitting there hearing this beast, like trees getting out of the fucking way. It's this thing is just coming flying down the fucking hill at you, and you're running. Knowing you're going to get caught and you're hearing your stupid pots and pans clink clanking together. And all you're trying to do is just get out in front of your friend. So he's the one that goes down. And so you can live knowing for the rest of your life what your strategy did killed your friend. Hearing his cries. Whatever the what is the sound of having your face ripped off? I like to lose weight like the next guy. Jesus Christ, you go out there with your fucking bear mace. Fuck all of that. Bears, mountain lions, poisonous snakes. What about if you just, and then all the fucking varmints out there? I love that word. Because Yosemite Sam's the only person I ever heard use it. And when I found out it was actually a credible word, not something made up, I absolutely love that word, varmints. You know, badgers, wolverines, bobcats. People look at bobcats like they're no big deal. You ever gotten scratched by a fucking house cat? How bad that thing can fuck you up with its little ass fucking paws? All right? You want a goddamn lynx jumping on you? Going to fucking town because it's bored? Or you freaked it out? Or you came too near something that it peed on? And you have no fucking idea. That's another thing, dude. You're in their world. This guy actually respected the fact that I said I'm not doing it. But I also I think he thought it was pretty peculiar that I wouldn't do stand up on a cruise. I just jumped subject. Sorry. And I was waiting for him to ask me why, and I would just be like, well, you know, would you do a podcast? You know, in on a boat in a lake that's full of fucking alligators. I mean, you can, okay, we're on the boat. Everything's fucking fine. But it really is just an unnecessary risk that you take. It goes all the way back to that fucking Saints fan. He got off easy. That same fucking guy. Put that guy with his jersey, with his video camera, walking up to a mama bear screaming, hooday, hooday, and all that type of shit. He's worried about getting spit in his face. He would have bear saliva all around his fucking neck. Ah, Jesus Christ. I've actually thought about that. Like, what would I do if a bear was running right at me? I just wish that I would have the wherewithal to run right at it. Like, you know, if a shark was coming at me, swim right at it. And as quickly as you can, shove your fucking head in there and get it over with. That is the only fucking strategy. What, are you going to climb a tree? Thing's going to go right up that tree. Did you ever see that YouTube video of those guys sitting in the tree hunting that bear, and all of a sudden the bear just literally runs up the tree next to him and is like, I don't know, 7 feet above him on the tree next to him, leaning out, sniffing at them, trying to figure out what the fuck they are. And I love how the bears just instinctively know. It's just like with that bear 8 feet above you, that's like when you're in the upper deck of a stadium, you know, and you're shit-faced and you get into it with somebody two rows behind you. They automatically have the advantage because they're punching down, right? You're going to lose that fight. You're going to fall on your back. You're probably going to break your ankle. Something's going to get twisted as this guy's punching down at you. Now just imagine it was a bear. That was the situation these people were in. You got to check out that video. This fucking bear, it was on the ground. And they're whispering in their little fatigues, looking at this thing. And then this thing, I don't know how it found him. You just heard, and that was it. Over. This thing was all of a sudden not on the floor of the forest, 20 feet down. It was now 8 feet above them, sniffing at them like, ooh, is that a food source? Jesus, dude, you really just hit on, like, two people today hit on two tremendous fears I have. Being alone in the fucking wilderness and being out to sea. Fuck both of those. Although I want to hear the stories if you do it. You know, not if you went on a cruise. I don't give a shit. Going out there eating Jell-O with your date rape drug. Fucking weirdo. You know, to go see the reunion of Wham. Cyndi Lauper cruise, whatever the fuck you're doing. I don't know. All right. Advice on college selection. Oh, wait. Let me read the last couple of fucking ads here. All right. Oh, the classic. Here we go. Taking it to the street. Stamps.com, everybody. One great resolution you can make for this new year. Maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. And you know what? I know an easy way to do that. An easy, simple way. What is it? It's Stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted going to the post office. Are you done thinking about it? Driving there, finding parking, standing with a homeless guy holding the door. You got to fish for a dollar. Pain in the ass. Just use what you already have. Wait, stamps.com is a better way to get postage. Just use what you already have, your computer and your printer, to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman comes by and picks it up with stamps.com. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do it right from your desk. There's no reason to go to the post office anymore. You can do it right at your home for a fraction of the cost. With a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. I've been using Stamps.com for, I think, 2 years at this point. It's so easy, so convenient. Even a moron like me can figure it out. So don't wait. Right now, go to use my last name, Burr, to get this special offer. No risk trial plus a $110 bonus that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Who's next? Who's next for the butchering? E-Voice. The holidays are coming. Are you still with this copy, E-Voice? Are you serious? E-Voice. The holidays are coming, everybody. They're only 12 months away. And as a business owner, you know what that means. Crickets, face it, the next couple of months or 12 months are the calm before the storm. Now's the time to do something that will dramatically help your 2014. E-Voice. E-Voice is the simple technology that helps you make more money. With E-Voice, toll-free or local numbers, call routing tools, and a professional dial by name directory, your business will look like $1 million. And with eVoice, you can't take a call. Jesus Christ, Bill. And with eVoice, if you can't take a call, these saints will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. So you'll never be caught off guard again. eVoice has been saving companies thousands of dollars every month, making them more efficient and more productive. There is no quicker or easy way to transform your business for 2014. And with eVoice, you can try it before you buy it. Right now, you can get a free 30-day trial to eVoice when you go to eVoice.com/Burr or go to BillBurr.com and click on the eVoice banner. That's eVoice.com/BillBurr or BillBurr.com and click on the eVoice banner. Now's the time to take charge of your business and prepare for a productive 2014. Go to eVoice.com/BillBurr or go to BillBurr.com. All right, that's the deal. That's it. That's the advertising for this week. Okay, my apologies. to anybody who had to listen to me butcher my way through that. All right, advice on college selection. Dear Billiam Bourbon, I'm an 18-year-old senior headed into my final high school semester, and I'm conflicted as to what school I want to attend after high school. I've narrowed it down to two colleges I want to attend, each polar opposites. Jesus, dude, this is like one of the biggest decisions of your young life. And you just heard me trying to read out loud. Okay? So take everything that I say with a grain of salt. All right. The first this person is considering is the University of Arizona. The safe, cheaper choice where all my buddies are going to go. And it's in state with about 40,000 enrolled students. I got to tell you right off the bat, that sounds fun. Because I don't like to read. I don't like to study. I like to drink with my friends. And I like talking to the ladies. So I'm already liking University of Arizona. God damn it. That sounds like a nightclub to me. They offer my first choice for a major. What? They offer my first choice for a major. Oh, they offer my first choice for a major, which is nutrition. And it's a 2-hour drive from home, which is nice considering my family is still mourning the loss of my dad. Ah, Jesus, dude, I'm sorry to hear that. Wow, all of a sudden that takes all the fun out of this. The downside is that everyone from my high school goes there, and I feel like it's a cop-out choice. I have a good... I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You know, plus you want to meet a bunch of new women. You know? Plus, if you got some shady past, that's always great to go to a new college. You just fucking reinvent yourself. Like hipsters try to do. They try to act like they were the cool guy in high school that fucked the cheerleaders. You know, as they sit there dressed like Robert Fulton for no fucking apparent reason. Anyways, I had a good GPA, fantastic test scores, and enough extracurriculars to get me into some pretty selective schools. So I feel like U of A isn't enough of a challenge. I don't really have much incentive to go there, and I fear I'll be unhappy. I'll be unhappy there due to the lack of risk-taking. All right, dude, you sounded like you're already making the choice. I feel you leaning. You're jumping off sides here. The other is Lewis and Clark College. Oh, Jesus Christ. A liberal arts college in a beautiful part of Portland. Dude, you just went from blondes and bikinis to uncontrolled bushes wearing Birkenstocks. Now, I know I'm stereotyping. All right? Oh, Jesus Christ. You really are a smart one, aren't you? Nah, you know what? Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to stop being an asshole. You know what? University, going to the fucking University of Arizona, from what I've heard, that's just like, remember that guy used to take those creepy videos of the girls gone wild? You know? Because girls got roofied was a little too on the nose. That's what those Arizona colleges sound like. I had a buddy of mine from high school. He went out there and he got all fucked up. It was too much. Girls came to fucking classes in bikini tops. What were you supposed to do? Anyways, he goes, the other is Lewis and Clark College. At least they did back in the 80s. The other is Lewis and Clark College. It's a liberal arts college in a beautiful part of Portland. Portland, Oregon is fucking gorgeous. With about 2,000 kids, it'd be a nice distance away from home, and it's the college where my heart lies. Well, dude, this is it right here. 2,000 kids is great, man. Going to a school where it's a fucking city, that they all have their own bus system, man, that's insane. Just personally speaking. He said it'd be a nice distance away from home, and it's the college where my heart lies. Yeah, dude, and you grew up in Arizona. Go see something different. The campus is absolutely incredible, and we have family up there in case something goes wrong. It's a tad more pricey, but my family set up to where I have the option to spend a lot on college. The downside is that it's such a change for me, a new city. I have visited it, but it's far away from home. No high school friends, and I'm a natural pessimist, so I wonder what the gloomy gray winters will do to me mentally. Oh, dude, fuck this, man. Man up. You want to go. You're scared. You should be scared. You're 18, but it's good. This is a good thing to be scared of and to get over. You got to go out there, dude. Jesus Christ. You live in Arizona. You can fucking come there anytime you want to. Fuck that. Go away to school, man. Portland is the shit. Oregon's beautiful. All the way up into Washington's fucking gorgeous, man. Cruise down to Coos Bay. I've been all over that fucking state. It's awesome. And not only that, you know, they got great college football up there now. If you're into that type of shit, go to one of those Oregon games. I'd fucking do that in a second. Anyways, I'll keep going. He says, the Portland weather is almost the polar opposite of Arizona weather, and that spooks me. Dude, rain doesn't hurt, all right? You'll be fine, you know? All right, still, I feel like Lewis and Clark is the opportunity that I've been waiting for. Plus, I'm a relatively solitary person, so I think I'd fit in with a more mellow campus than a fraternity-run school like U of A. It sounds like you would. Essentially, it comes down to huge party school versus beautiful, small, liberal arts school. The thought of being alone with no one I know in a new school scares me and excites me at the same time. Let me know. Thanks in advance. Go fuck yourself. Dude, you've already made your decision. You want to challenge yourself. It's exciting. You're going to meet new people. It's going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be fucking awesome. Go up there, have a great time, and as far as I know, if there's a party going on, you basically have a party school, okay? And you don't want to, all you want to do is just fucking party the whole goddamn time because you're not going to learn anything. It's going to go by like that tailgate I went to, and you're going to be drunk and belligerent and act like a fucking moron and come out of there with a big booze head. You don't want to do that either. Believe me. If you think that people aren't partying in Portland, first of all, if I had to guess, they probably make insane fucking weed in that state. I don't know if it's legal, but by the time fucking November rolls around, it probably will be. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I would live there. I would live in Seattle. I would live in Portland. I would live in either one of those states, more northern Oregon, or I would live on the coast. It's just some of the most lush land you're ever going to see. With all of that rain, I'm telling you, it's absolutely fucking gorgeous, man. It's fucking gorgeous. You know, when the people are smart, you know, it rains all the time. They got nothing to do but sit around and read. All right, advice. Dear Bilbo Faggins. Oh, Jesus. He went homophobic. I am taking an anatomy class before I start the med school shit show. Oh, Jesus. All right. There's this hot chick that I've been... Dude, this sounds like the beginning of a porno. You're going to be a doctor in medical school. You're taking an anatomy class. Here comes this hot chick. And what? She wants you to help her out with the anatomy as you take out your fucking dick there. He goes, there's this hot chick that I've been talking to, but I feel creepy about asking her out. While we're digging out a dead grandmother's fallopian tube together, who is probably a peach. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in the game. You are so in the game, you don't even fucking understand it, all right? You're smart enough to be in medical school. You're going to be a doctor. So right there, you're a fucking rock star to women. Who doesn't want to bring him? He's in medical school. He's got a mom and dad. I'm dating a fucking guy in medical school. And on top of that, you're fucking hilarious. That's it. 1-2 punch. It's over. Uppercut to the fucking snatch over there. He said, how should I approach this? By the way, when are you going to come to San Francisco? With gingerly love. Let's see here. How do you approach it? Well, dude, you don't have to hit on her while you're working. How about when you're in the lunchroom? You're so fucking in there. It's ridiculous. You're already funny as fucking hell. So I have total faith in you. All you need is a location. I would say, yeah, when you're not standing next, you know, digging into a cadaver. Other than that, you know, just start working on her. Working on, you know, make her laugh at work. Ask her about her background, blah, 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 you know. But don't fucking, you know, talk to her too long before asking her out. You know, work the body a little bit. Hey, where'd you grow up? How many brothers and sisters you got? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I don't know. Ask, you seeing anybody? Would you like to fucking see me? And then you fucking open your lab coat with nothing underneath it. You flash her. You can get away with it. You're in anatomy class. Bang. That's how you do it. No. Dude, you're going to be fine. You don't need my fucking help. All right. Just don't do it when you're dissecting shit. All right. Jesus Christ. Is that guy fucking killing it or what? Don't you wish you had his life? If you could do it over again, you're smart enough to get into medical school and there's some hot chick in your fucking class. Jesus. I can tell you this, sir. She's going to be the first of many. All right? You motherfucker. All you got to do is walk around with that stethoscope around your fucking lab coat with your scrubs on. Forget it. It's going to be raining, hailing, fucking Johnny Blue top shelf fucking pussy for you. Good on you. Good on you, sir. You studied. You studied in high school. You deserve it. Or you were born with the A brain. You got the A brain. Ever tell you about that, my philosophy? Some people get the A brain. Some people get the B brain. Some people get the C brain. And then after that, I don't make fun of people. All right? I make fun of the C brain. The C brain is that person that, you know, those mouth-breathing fucking morons. Those people. All right? They got the C brain. That one where they can get a driver's license. You know? They can pour themselves a bowl of cereal, and they can get to work on time. You know those people, like when you ask them a question, they get a look on their face almost like they're going to start crying. That would be the C brain. The B brain would be me. You're smart, but you're a fucking idiot. And then the A brain is you're just straight across the board. You're a number one draft pick. All right? I would go late in the third round, but I got a lot of hot. All right, the campaign voice. Bill, we're going to get America back to work, and it's time we give tax cuts to people who really need them. Had me rolling when I first heard you do that stereotypical campaign voice. You know what's funny? I don't even know what voice that is. I remember saying that stuff. I don't yell, do I? I don't even fucking know. I can't remember. Anyways, I've heard you do the campaign voice a few times on Conan, Opie and Anthony, etc. Do you do that in your act, or was that just something you did during the presidential election season? It must have been, because I can't remember how to do it. Oh, this is fucking killing me. Do I do it? Do I have a funny voice that I'm not utilizing? That could get me another fucking desperate 6 minutes to my act? Would you do a few minutes of it on your next podcast? Well, what am I, a fucking jukebox? Listen, I'll do it for you, but you got to send the audio of you doing your impression of it. All right? You got to make an ass of yourself, and then I'll fucking tap dance for you. Thanks. He says, thanks. I've been paying attention to your comedy since I caught your half-hour special when I was in middle school. I'm now 47. No, I'm kidding. I'm really happy for all your success, and I wish you continued success. Jesus Christ. People are coming out of the gate in 2014 really nice. Thank you very much, sir. How do I do that thing? How do I do the campaign voice? That's not the one that I absolutely prodigious. Like, was it that one? Now you got me in my head. See, I'm smart, but I'm a fucking idiot. I can't even remember the shit that I do. Ah, fuck. Anyways, here's the wrap up, everybody. Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast, everybody, and get a free trial. Extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at BillBird.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner. Or go to Hulu Plus HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's HuluPlus.com/Bill. There you go. All right, that's the podcast for this week. And once again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you to Randy Bauman for hooking me up with the gig. Thank you to Mario Lemieux and all everybody at the camp, everybody that I played with, everybody who laughed at the jokes when me and Steve Byrne told them. I don't want to speak for Steve, but I think I can. That was we were just shaking our heads today. We flew back. We connected in Dallas, and we got they were de-icing our plane, so we missed the connecting flight, and we got stuck there for a couple of hours. Those of you who follow me on Twitter, I was Twittering my fucking misery when I was there. Until I saw the guy with the neck brace sneeze, that fucking killed me. The look of panic on his face because he knew he was going to sneeze and he knew it was going to hurt. If I could do that face on cue, I swear to God, I could win a fucking Oscar. But anyways, we were sitting there in the airport just talking about how just shaking our head. It was unbelievable. But as always, you know, I'm not going to name names and all that type of shit. It was fucking amazing, man. Fucking amazing. So that's it, man. That's how my 2014 started. And people actually have pictures of me now wearing Pittsburgh Penguin jersey. That's the only thing. But I was willing to pay that price. I got to thank Ty Domi for punching Ulf Samuelsson in the face. It's just, how do you fucking beat that? Where does 2014 go from here? I'll tell you. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast once again and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. Once again, that's HuluPlus.com/Bill. Thank you for listening. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll talk to you next week.